Jesus affirmed the commandment of God from the Old Testament when he said to his disciples and to those who asked him questions, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind and with all thy soul and with all thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Jesus confirmed that Old Testament commandment and brought it into the New Testament context and says to every one of us today, this is the standard of the New Testament. Thou shalt have no other loves before me. Amen? That's fitting for God to say to us this morning, young people. Surely it is. That's fitting for God to say, no other loves. That's fitting for God to say, I don't want a boyfriend ahead of me. I don't want a girlfriend ahead of me. I don't want anything ahead of me. I don't want your career ahead of me. I don't want your plans ahead of me. I don't want anything ahead of me. I'm God. Thou shalt have no other loves before me. I'm God. These words and others can seem to be a bit extreme. Remember, we read them yesterday, but let's turn again there today in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said it this way in Luke. I believe it's Luke 14. He said, "Whosoever hateth not his father and mother cannot be my disciple." And you know, you hear those words and you think, boy, those are extreme words. And he said it this way in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." They seem like extreme words until you bring it into its proper context and say, now wait a minute, this is God speaking to us. God can say that, can't he, young people? Yes, God can stand up and say, if you love your father or your mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. God can do that. He's God. And it puts it all in the right perspective, doesn't it? I think of the rich young ruler. He felt he had kept all the commandments from his youth up. Boy, was he in for a shock when he came to Jesus in all his proud, religious self-confidence. Thought he'd kept all the commandments from his youth up. And Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus looked upon him and loved him. That's an interesting little phrase, isn't it? You know, I don't know if that's how we would do it. You know, if we knew what was inside of his heart, maybe we'd say, well, you proud so-and-so, who do you think you are? But Jesus looked on him and loved him. But I want us to know he loved him enough to tell him the truth. And isn't it interesting what he did here? Jesus cut right through his self-confident assurance. Jesus cut right through all of that and showed him that he was breaking the whole of the law. The whole thing. He said, "You have a love that is before me, and it's called your money. Sell all that you have, that'll take care of your idolatry. And give it to the poor, that'll take care of loving your neighbor. And come and follow me, that'll take care of loving God with all of your heart." Are you ready for that, rich young ruler? And the rich young ruler went away sorrowful that day because he had a love that was more precious to him than the God of heaven who was standing before him, God incarnate in the flesh. These words come home to our own hearts this morning also. Maybe as we sit here, they're issues come up before our hearts. I do have a love in my heart. And that love is there, and I'm loving it more than God, and it's hindering me from going on with God. Thou shalt have no other love before me. Do you see the heart of the matter, young people? To follow Jesus Christ is a personal commitment to love Him, to walk with Him, and to walk in His ways in that order. To love Him, and to walk with Him, and to walk in His ways. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Come, follow me, Jesus said. And I believe this morning that this mandate of love needs some balance. Needs a bit of balance. True love is a very powerful emotion united with an unshakable commitment. That's what true love is, young people. It is a powerful emotion, affection, united with an unshakable commitment. And that's what Jesus meant when He said, if you love your father and mother more than me, or your brother and sister more than me, or anything else more than me, you cannot be my disciple. Because I want the love of your being. I want the powerful emotion of affection from your heart, united with an unshakable commitment. That's what love is, true love. It is both. It is a flow of an affection of worship and adoration coupled with the will to obey and to serve. And young people, it's both. It's both. You must have both. Many, through the years, I've had the privilege of marrying many young couples. Many of them. To marry them in the purity and the balance of this genuine love. There they sit. A heart full of emotion and affection for one another. But also, there they sit with a heart that is committed to one another. Think about it, young people. What if your bridegroom had emotions and affections for you, but no commitment? Would you be satisfied with that? No way. But what if they had all the commitments, but there was no affection or emotion? Would you be satisfied with that? I know none of you would. I mean, who wants a lady that'll just, you know, wash the clothes and cook the food and be there to say, good evening, honey? Who wants that? I want my wife to love me. Young people, that's the way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ, too. It is the flow of affection, of love and adoration and worship for the Lord Jesus Christ, united with an unshakable commitment to walk with Him and walk in His way. We're looking at the spirit of a disciple and heart issues here this morning. I think of the Apostle John. He's a beautiful example of this. He referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, why do you suppose he said it that way? If you look down below the surface of that little statement, you know what he's really saying? I'm the disciple who loved Jesus with all my heart. So much so did I love the Lord Jesus that I was the disciple whom the Lord Jesus loved deeply. That was John. That was John's testimony. He was the one, you know, who laid his head on his breast. Beautiful. Beautiful. That was John. What about Mary of Bethany? She's another good example, isn't she? Oh, how she loved Jesus. She loved Him with an extravagant love. But she loved Him with an affection and an adoration and a worship. And He knew it. And she was a balm to Him those last few days before He went to the cross. She was a balm to His heart because of her love and her adoration and her worship. But notice, young people, that that love and that adoration and that worship caused her to take that alabaster box full of ointment, which was one whole year's wages, her one whole year's wages, which she saved up, and she broke that. She broke that. It was a symbol of her past. It was a symbol of her present, and it was a symbol of her future, and she took the whole thing and broke it and poured it on the head of the one that she loved. And that's a beautiful example of the balance of those two coming together. I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I love the Lord Jesus with all of my heart. And God wants you to be His possession, young people. Don't ever forget that. God is God, and you are His purchased possession, and He is pursuing His possession with all His heart. Sometimes you may not understand what's going on in your life. Just remember, you are God's possession, and He is pursuing His possession with all of His heart because He wants you to delight in being God's possession. God, oh, that ministers to the heart of God when His bought possession says, "Oh, Lord, possess me. Take control of me." So we find these beautiful words balanced out. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. And if you love me, thou shalt have no other affections before me. Thou shalt have no other affections before me. The love of a disciple. And lastly, this morning, young people, we want to look at the foundation of a disciple, and given in the form of our confession. It goes like this. I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been clearly, soundly converted. I have been clearly and soundly converted. Oh, the burden, young people. The bondage of attempting to be a disciple without a regeneration in the inner man. Listen, young people, if you think trying to live by the Old Testament was tough, you tried to be a New Testament disciple of Jesus without a regenerated heart. You'll be more frustrated than those Old Testament fellows were, I guarantee it. You can't do it. You must start in the right place, young people. With a regeneration, a regenesis in the inner man. A born again, born of the Spirit experience is the first step in true discipleship, young people. Translated from one kingdom into another. If you don't do that, if you don't have that, you have a religion without reality. And all you'll get is a new order without a new heart. And like Brother Emmanuel so beautifully shared with us last night, that is an abomination to God. When we begin to look into the heart of God and see what God is really after, a new order of ways of doing things without a regenerated heart is an abomination to God. He doesn't want a bunch of people running around on the earth doing things in a different way. That's not his heart. He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants a body that he can come and dwell in and move in and breathe in and work through and speak through. That's what God is looking for. That'll never happen until there's a regeneration on the inside. Amen? Dear young people, know this. Salvation is not a new order to follow. It is not. Sometimes young people, they get that kind of a mindset. It just kind of slips in on them, you know? They grow up in a Christian home. You know all the right things. You hear all the right things. And maybe you're even in a church and you know all the things that Christians do. And so you think, okay, I'm going that way. And you start going that way. I'm telling you, that's a new order without a new heart. It's not a new order to follow. It's not a belief in a set of doctrines. It's not a prayer that you prayed, young people. Salvation is a person. Salvation is a person. The Lord Jesus Christ, remember? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come unto me, Jesus said, personally, and I personally will give you rest. Take my yoke personally, my personal yoke upon you, and learn of me personally. And you shall find rest unto your soul. Young people, salvation is a person. I agree with Brother John. Something that he shared yesterday when the disciples met Jesus and when John the Baptist met Jesus. He was righteous. Oh, I wonder what he was like. I wonder. He was righteous. He had the beauty of holiness all over him. His face shone. Now, it didn't shine like it did on the Mount of Transfiguration, but I guarantee you his face shined with the God who was inside of him. His face shined. He was full and running over with grace, and he was full and running over with truth. He was the visible image of the invisible God. And when his disciples saw him, they wanted to be with him. They wanted to be with him. They wanted to hear him. They wanted to see him. They wanted to be like him. Just like John said there in 1 John, oh, we've seen him. We've looked upon him. Our eyes have looked upon him. Our ears have heard his words. Our hands have touched him. John was pretty excited about that. And he was the one who said, oh, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full and running over of grace and full and running over of truth. Yeah, when they saw Jesus, he was a holy man, young people, don't you doubt it. There was an awesomeness about that Lord Jesus when he walked upon this earth. I know his glory was hidden. It was robed in flesh. I know that. I know it. But I'm telling you, he was a holy man. And those disciples, they saw him and they wanted to go with him. They wanted to be with him. They wanted to hear what he had to say. When he sat down and began to clear his throat, everybody stopped talking. What's he going to say? What is he going to have to say now? Well, it's the same way with us, young people. We want to be with him. We want to hear him. We want to see him. We want to be like him. And these things can't happen until you have regenesis. Amen? Until there is a regenesis. That's what regeneration means. It's the word genesis. Until there is a regenesis. I agree with Brother John. You have the opportunity to start over. But starting over is not a new resolution. Starting over is so much more than that. Starting over is starting over after a regenerated heart and a cleansed heart and a heart that's been filled with the Spirit of God. And then you say, okay, now I can start over, and you've got the power to succeed. Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus? Oh, some call him the secret disciple. He was into this whole discipleship stuff. He knew it very well. He came to Jesus and used those words. Rabbi, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. And he came as a learner. I want to learn something from you. What are you going to tell me? Master, what will you tell me? But isn't it interesting what Jesus did? I mean, here comes Nicodemus, very familiar with this whole matter of the master teacher and the learner and all that. And all of a sudden, you know, he knew this man's got some new things to say. I mean, never a man spake like this man spake his words. He speaketh when he speaketh as one who has authority. He doesn't speak like the scribes and the Pharisees when he opens up his mouth. I want to go and hear some teachings from the Lord Jesus. But Jesus turned it right around on him and said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. He cannot see the kingdom of heaven. He cannot experience the kingdom of heaven until he is born again. Beautiful. I mean, he took that disciple right back to square one. And young people, that's where we have to start also. We have to start at square one. Have you been born again? Transformed, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the glorious kingdom of his dear Son. Have you been born again? That's the challenge. That's the foundation of true discipleship. Have you? Someone asked me last evening, it was a visitor, not one of you young people, but it was a visitor from a distant state. They asked me this question. He said, Brother Denny, can a 5-year-old get saved? They asked me that question. Ooh. I answer that very carefully to the dear person who asked it to me. Can a 5-year-old get saved? Well, I'm not going to be dogmatic here today. I'm not going to tell you, no, no way, no 5-year-old can get saved. I'm not going to tell you that. But I'm going to tell you this, based on my own experience over the last 25 years of ministry, most of the time they don't. Most of the time they don't. Here's what happens. They're a little child, an innocent child. Oh, they know they do things bad. Sure they do. They know they disobeyed mom. They got a spanking. They go to church. They hear a sermon on heaven or hell. They don't want to go to hell. And they surely would like to go to heaven. And so they come in tears to their mom and dad, or they come to the preacher and they say, I want to get saved. I'm afraid I'm going to die and go to hell. And I want to get saved. And so mom or dad or the preacher or somebody says, oh, that's good, sonny boy. Here, you get down on your knees and you just tell God that you're a sinner and ask Jesus to come into your heart and everything will be fine. And they get down on their knees and tell God that they're a sinner and say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. And they feel good. And everybody's happy for them, and mom and dad pat them on the back, and the preacher does, you know, and depending on the setting they're in, he gets them up in front of everybody and says, we want to rejoice with little Johnny this morning. Yes, Jesus into his heart, and he's going to be baptized next Sunday. Only thing is, that doesn't really do much most of the time. And there's a reason for that, young people, and this is the reason, because salvation, Jesus did not come to earth just so that you could get a one-way ticket to heaven and get your escape route out of hell. That is not why Jesus came and died. That's not why he came and died. Salvation is the person who saves you and salvages you from your sin and from yourself. Right? And so the heart who begins to realize the corruption that is inside of me, the heart that begins to say, I need help, I'm tired of the way I'm living. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death, this body of sin, this corruption within me? Who shall deliver me from this? That kind of a heart can call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, save me. And they get a regeneration in here. See, when you cry out to God in desperation of the deep need inside of your life, then Jesus comes and saves you. His name is Jesus, and He shall save His people from their sins. Amen? Usually when you're 5 years old, you don't have any concept of any of that yet. So that's why I say, most of the time, they don't. Now, if you're here today and you look back to something that happened when you're 5 years old, and as you sit here today, you know you're sitting here in the grace of God, and you love the Lord Jesus with all your heart, and your heart unites to the things that are being said here, praise God! I'm not going to question that. But if you're sitting here today and there's no reality within, and it happens, young people, it does. They do that. They pray that prayer. Somebody pats them on the back, and for 10 or 15 years, they go through the motions. They go to church. They try to read their Bible, but there's nothing on the inside. And when there's nothing on the inside, it gets pretty dry pretty fast. And I just want to recommend to you that you don't get on this road, this path of discipleship, until you come to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, save me. I need it. Make sure that the Spirit of His Son dwells within. That is salvation. When the Spirit of His Son is dwelling inside of me, God is inside of me. And I am a new creature. That is salvation. Let's stand to our feet. Lord, we quiet our hearts before You here this morning. We open our hearts to You. Oh God, I do not want to unsettle anyone who is born again. God, You know my heart. But oh Father, there may be some here who are settled in, who need to be unsettled, and I pray that You by Your Spirit will do that work. God, I pray that You will surround the heart of those frail ones who get filled with doubts when they hear this, Lord, but truly are born again. I pray that You'll protect those, but God, those that are in this room, they know there's nothing inside and there's never been anything inside. I pray that You will send conviction down upon the heart. And God, we pray, make us these kind of disciples, Lord, that we have heard this morning in this session. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.